It is the 1920s. All across Europe, people are coming to terms with the aftermath of a world torn by war. In Germany, Hitler has begun his rise to the top of the National Socialist Party. Anarchists run riot, the Russian royal family has been deposed, and it seems as if the British Empire has enemies on all sides. But it is not that story that we're dealing with. Other things lurk in the shadows. Older things. Things that have no concept of humanity. Things that have lain in wait since before humans walked the planet. Sanity-blasting horrors, worshipped by the mad and the deluded, they hide behind our world. Waiting. Waiting until the stars were right. Running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, we now embark on Horror on the Orient Express. Hello, and welcome to episode 247 of The Cult of Tea and Dice. I'm Mordrigan, and I will be your GM for tonight for Call of Cthulhu 7th edition, Horror on the Orient Express, Blue Train, Black Knight, Session 8. Now, before we continue, everything probably sounds different. We're on a new mic setup. We're still working on it, but we're hoping that this is going to result in less in the background. Now, if I do my noise cancel right, you may not have actually heard anything there, but I made a horrible buzzing sound. Don't worry. So anyway, as I said, I'm Mordrigan.
Hello, I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Clarissa Cliff.
Still. How? How are you still playing Clarissa Kick?
Luck and Dr. Jesus.
Because everyone else dies first.
She's secretly a vampire.
No, that was Dr. Jesus. He was secretly a vampire.
Yeah, he's infected her. She just doesn't know it yet.
Oh, that is another thing that you will notice. There is more background sound from these microphones. We're working on it. Archive.
I'm Archive, and I'm playing Errol Oldstaff.
Still.
You say that, he's not been around that long.
No, he's only your third character though, so you're doing pretty well.
Fourth.
Oh. Okay, I take back what I said.
I'm Bloodied and I'm playing Chester Philman. Still. Somehow.
Very much just. He's your second.
Second.
So you're doing pretty well for you.
For me, yes.
Normally, by this point in a Call of Cthulhu campaign, you're about six characters in, aren't you?
About six, yes.
Yeah. And finally, Loka.
I'm Loka Centaurus and I am playing Dr. Wade Roberts. And Dr. this is still my first character, but I joined late.
So then, first things first, everybody roll for luck.
Because I feel
you're going to fucking need it.
We don't we?
Well, no, that's true.
Oh, poor.
I mean, in fairness, the entire system is set up so that you need luck and it kind of comes and goes.
Technically speaking, the whole luck mechanic is actually an optional rule.
Really?
Yeah. But
I... Ouch. Loki, you get another 8.
I find that the luck mechanic works very well.
An excellent way of doing something similar to fate points without having it be quite so chunky.
Yeah.
You can be a lot more... If you just need a little bit of luck, you can only spend a little bit rather than spending a much more limited pool.
And there's always the thing of, is it worth it?
Yeah.
Yes.
You do have to really think about, is this what I want to spend my luck on today? Because tomorrow I might need to not get stabbed by a cultist. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a tea. And
we do not
hand it out anywhere near as much if you have a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. So we have a, and I quote marks, tea. Hardwick, tell us about our, quote marks, tea.
Today's tea is Lime Bay Winery's mulled cider.
It's really good.
Because it is the 20th of December here.
It is indeed. Now, please note, this will probably be going out sometime in February.
Still. Happy February.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Potentially.
Or Pancake Day. It might be Pancake Day.
It could be Happy Sproglet Arrival Day.
That'd be exciting.
Mm.
I'm hoping I've edited all of these and put them in the queue before that happens. I don't want to be in the hospital going, yes, push, push, edit, 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 push, push, edit, 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 push, push, hang on, push. I've just scheduled the podcast, don't worry.
And then she would go down badly.
Or even worse, don't push yet, I need to finish editing first.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. So, Hardwick, keeper of the notes, please... Please tell everybody what everybody did last time.
So, actually, last time we were quite energetic for us on this train.
Really?
We fucking got. I know, we did stuff. Mm-hmm. I know, it's shocking. So, we started off entering the Italian border.
As you do.
We were all interviewed by the Italian authorities.
As you do.
As we do.
I'm going to stop doing that, it's weird.
We realised that when we last stopped, which I believe was at wherever it was we last stopped, Ljubljana, I think, Donna Delgada did not get back on the train.
You certainly don't think she has.
We saw her get off. She had conversations with Harrow Bart and Ramahutep.
No.
Lord Margrave.
Lord Margrave.
Because she got off with Lord Margrave. Well, okay, now let me rephrase that. She
had a conversation with him on the platform.
Yes. She got off the train and conversed with Lord Margrave. Then later on she went into a building and Harrow Bart went into the same building, I believe. And she may have talked to Ramahotep, if you have that down in your notes. I don't remember that happening, but it's possible.
So anyway, none of us actually got much sleep that night. I don't think anyone wanted to sleep.
No. Quite a few people are on negatives to things involving thinkiness because tired.
And there's a lot of sweating heavily going on.
Yes. Almost everybody in the party is afflicted with heavy sweating.
I'm not. I'm just kind of grey.
Heavy sweating.
Heavy sweating is very pleasant. Mm. Anyway, that morning we get to Trieste.
Mm-hmm.
Chester and Errol see a man on the platform in a wheelchair, and he's directing two red-headed gentlemen onto the train.
Yes.
We have breakfast.
I'm sorry, he's directing two red-headed men onto the train. So we have breakfast.
Yeah. Well, it's not like... It's not like people who notice this have any idea what the significance is at all.
Most of you don't know.
So moving on. Danton Zorbik is having a beer at breakfast.
As he always does.
He has a theory that Kurt Gronig is the one going around killing people.
Yeah. Kurt Gronig's a murderer.
Mm.
Says Danton Zorbik.
So we've decided to be active and try to find out what's actually going on.
Because the GM suggested that it might be a really good idea.
Well, because the GM sort of sat there and went, are you just going to stay in the saloon again? Right, okay. Maybe don't do that.
Well, it's something to pass the time, isn't it?
It was worth leaning in for that one.
So yes. Dr. Roberts and Errol decide to go to the Forgon to see if they can find the trunk.
The trunk? With the Sedefkar Simulacrum equipment.
With the statue in.
Yep.
And their premise is to go and get something out of their luggage.
Yeah, because you know that the Sedefkar Simulacrum is one of those weird things where it is both worn and not worn. The person who has recently worn it counts as sort of has it on, but not really. So he does have to bring it with him.
Yeah, see, I'd kind of missed that bit in the notes until that was pointed out.
Yeah, so he does have to bring it with him. So you know it must be on this train somewhere. As Mehmet Makriat is on this train somewhere. And you know that for a fact. Because some fucker keeps trying to murder you.
Yeah.
But anyway, please continue with your going to change your bloody clothes.
Yes, so the bloody clothes.
Clothes covered in blood, not just bloody clothes.
And it could be both.
Yeah. Change your bloody clothes.
So they managed to talk themselves in round the guards.
Mm-hmm.
Errol had a big crate of books.
That was his excuse for trying to look at the big boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except he didn't find anything that was particularly
book related.
Well, Well, he didn't find anything in his trunk he was expecting. He didn't find any other trunks that might have been...
No, he didn't find the Sedefkar trunk.
It's probably in the fancy trunk section, where we didn't have an excuse to look in that.
It's possibly in the fancy trunk section.
What Errol did find in his trunk is slightly more disturbing.
Yes.
It was the inside fleshy bits of a woman.
It was definitely the inside fleshy bits and definitely a woman because, and I quote... He had a rummage around to make sure.
I mean, realising this is probably the first time Errol's touched a woman and she's not even wearing her skin. It's just weird.
Grab them cakes.
Wow.
And apparently everything else, to be sure.
Yes, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, my players.
I'm going to have a lot of fun with this.
Errol is copping a feel of the corpse.
Errol was indeed copping a feel of the corpse.
We've broken our code. It's wonderful.
He thinks it's a woman.
He was pretty certain it was a woman.
That's his opinion.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't think he honked anything. I think he mostly went...
I mean, he's probably not the most experienced, so if someone wants to double-check, they're welcome to do so.
Yeah, because he did kind of just shut the gate and leave her there.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't find any windows in the corner, I assume.
No, if you do that with the skin, not the actual body.
Oh, right, I see.
Oh, I totally do that with the body.
I'm fairly certain that you've thrown bodies out of the windows as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, true. Just not on this leg.
No.
Or any leg.
No, you throw entire bodies, not just legs. Come on. So.
So.
Then you went. I think you went.
Everyone
back to the
met saloon. In Clarissa's room because
oh,
she's,
right, it was Clarissa's room because he didn't want to be overheard.
Yes. So we have a feeling that Donna Delgada is not on the train.
And you found a dead woman.
There's a dead woman in a box.
So.
You know. Two and two might make four.
Mm-hmm. Or
not.
Or one minus the insides of it might make Macriath.
But then we haven't actually seen Donna at all on the train either.
She didn't leave her room a great deal.
But she wasn't seen by the Italian authorities.
No. She's not been... You haven't seen her since Ljubljana.
While we're all meeting in Clarissa's room, the... guard for the carriage, Ludovic, has a black eye, and he was attacked by two red-headed men who was trying to get into Clarissa's room.
Yes, and they didn't manage.
They did not manage.
Because he fucking punched them.
Because he's awesome.
And I believe they're already off the train, aren't they? Or are they in one of the four cons?
I believe they've been detained.
Okay, so they're in the third class four con.
As and is Inspector...
Inspector Belesqua is in the first class foregone.
Yes, you're going to be classing him.
Basically, they've moved him to the first class one, and they've got the other guys in the third class, second class, whatever it is. The one at the back.
So while we're all gathered, two people pass the room. Ramahotep is heading towards the saloon. And Harry Bart... is staggering back in a walk of shame from the night before with lipstick all over his face.
Yes. I believe you had a bit more of a conversation. I think we left it while you were still conversing, didn't we? You had a look at Harry Bart.
Yes. So what we've done, we listened at Donna's room.
Couldn't hear a thing.
Couldn't hear anything.
Got Ludovic to open it.
Ludovic opens the door. The bed is made and hasn't been slept in. He goes off to try and search for her because we haven't seen her recently. There are some letters that Errol finds that he has a look at, which from Lord Margrave. He's been selling her paintings and land and other items.
And romancing her.
And a bit of the old.
A bit of the old.
A bit of the old.
A bit of the old. Bit of the new. Bit of the house your father.
Oops, your uncle.
We've become a 1970s sitcom. Let's move on.
Clarissa remembered that at one point in the saloon, one of the many times they've been in the saloon, he was saying that, this is Lord Margrave we're talking about.
Women were very changeable.
Women, he didn't understand them and they were,
super changeable. They're like really changeable. They change their mind at the drop of a hat. Or their insides.
And basically we ended up with not actually finding Donna. All the cabins were checked and there wasn't any sign.
There was no sign of Donna Delgado. I believe you're still actually in Clarissa's cabin?
Well, we'd gone to Donna's room.
Yeah.
Well, they've been the whole
read little... the notes, but I think we were thrown out of there by Ludovic.
I think you were. So let's assume you've gone back to Clarissa's room and you can begin again. Off you go. They've instantly lapsed into silence. I need to read what's actually happening. We're just past Trieste, aren't we?
Right. So we haven't seen... We don't know where Donna is. We haven't seen Margrave either, though.
If he changed skin on the platform, then it's going to be Margrave or Harrow Barton that he's in now. Probably. Because those were the two people that went into that room.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be the opportunity.
So the question there is, how do we establish which one it could be?
That's a very good question. Or failing that, there is the other option.
Which is?
We take them both out simultaneously.
How exactly are we going to do that?
Well, as I said, I didn't say it was a plan. I said it was, you know, an idea.
Right. We've got to find them first.
Well, we know where Harrow Barton is because he's passed out in our room.
Question, Clarissa, which carriage are you in? Which cabin? What number? Is it number 13?
Let me double check.
Are you the one on your own?
I'm on my own, yes. I am, yes, I'm in 13.
Okay.
And I am between Lord Margrave and Danton Thorvik.
Lord Margrave is next door.
Yes.
According to the notes
that
I've got.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't in there when, because Ludovic went up and down the corridor knocking on the door. So he wasn't in there.
Okay.
So the one who's passed out in the next room. That would presumably make it a little easier to check whether or not he's got scars.
You've already done that.
Yeah.
You couldn't find any.
Okay.
But so, you also remembered that in the Crusaders story, they could only really tell because there was, on very occasional times, there was like a slightly porcelainy sheen on Sedefkar.
And only when they were like holding an holy object or something.
Well, yes, they were also... holding a holy object.
Well, which in Venice was a lot more common back then.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any holy objects?
You had some holy-ish objects. You get most of them away, though.
I mean, I still have the harp stone.
Oh, yes, you do. You do still have that.
I wouldn't really call that holy, but...
No. It's very definitely not. Already.
It did fuck up a vampire.
Yes, it definitely did that.
I've got a pentagram tattoo. That's holy, right?
Yes, Errol, absolutely.
Yes, Errol, where is it?
Oh, God.
His butt.
It's on his shoulder.
Oh. That's...
There are worse places it could have
been. Yeah, I was going to go with butt.
There are worse places it could have been.
Tramp stamp.
Don't look at me. This is... On the sheet.
No, true. You did not create that character.
Did not.
So anyway.
So I've got a connecting... Do I have anything connecting with Margrave?
No,
I don't.
No, you're just in there. There's technically a connecting door between 14 and 15. Wow. Which is Donna Delgado and Margrave.
Mm.
How surprising that they had two single cabins with a connecting door. Almost as if they were intending for midnight shenanigans to occur.
Shocking.
Scandalous.
Mm.
Well, we couldn't find the statue when looking in the Forgon, unless it's in the fancy bit of the Forgon. So, well, I mean, I could may as well check Harry Bart's stuff, seeing it's in my room, and just make sure there's nothing, there's like a large crate under the bed.
You would already know, because you were in there when he came in.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything back.
But he's not, nothing extra has appeared recently.
Nothing extra. Remember, okay. When you guys had the thing in your cabins, you basically had to take two adjoining cabins and then put it into the bathroom.
Yeah.
And move it out anytime anybody needed to use the bathroom.
Okay.
The crate is sufficiently large that if it was in any of these cabins, when Ludovic checked, he would probably have gone, there's a big fucking crate in here. Or okay. You'd have noticed it, because you sort of hung around while he was checking, didn't you?
Yeah, we were trying to listen in.
You haven't seen any crate that would meet the parameters.
Okay, and he didn't check in Don and Delgar's bathroom, though?
Donna Delgada doesn't have a bathroom. It's the adjoining door with Margrave.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a bathroom.
No,
a door.
It's another single berth.
Yeah, I thought it was two singles with... Oh, they're the other side.
Yeah.
Right, I see. Sorry, I thought they were there. Between Selena and...
They're up train, as it were,
right.
As opposed to down train.
Okay, yeah.
Where down train from your carriage is the saloon, and up train from your carriage is the other sleeper, and then the dining car.
Yeah, okay. Right then, so...
We are navigating by down and up train, ladies and gentlemen.
And he looked into Margrave's room as well, didn't he?
He looked into everywhere, and
yeah. No signs of crates.
No signs of any trunk in the sleeper car big enough to hide the death car simulacrum in.
Okay, so what are we going to do? I mean, we could try finding them both and watching them and seeing what they do if they don't notice that we're watching them and make sure they don't get anyone on their own because then they might steal their skin. Yeah. Oh, dear. I really think we need a plan.
We do need a plan. Is Ludovic back from his search? Is he out in the...
He's back on his seat at the end. Well, actually, no. He's having a conversation with the chef de brigade. They're just whispering together. And then the chef de brigade looks a bit flustered and stomps off. Ludovic! Yeah, Ludovic has finished his search now. I don't think you stayed for the whole search, did you?
No, because we went back into Clarissa's room.
Okay. Yeah, make me a psychology check.
And, psychology?
Okay. Mm.
I got a 0.5.
Well, you can take your psychology.
My psychology is at 72.
Okay. When you saw Ludovic talking to the chef of guard, the chef... I'm just waiting for her to take the character sheet out of the wrapper. The chef de brigade looked way more worried than looked way more worried than he would have done if he was just dealing with a passenger who'd left the train unannounced.
Okay.
He looked at the same sort of level of concerned as he did when you told him about finding Jack Gatling.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, so... do I recognise this man?
Who?
Which the man? Chef de Brigade.
Yeah, it's the same Chef de Brigade you've had the whole time. He's heading off up train.
Right, I shall point this out / tell people he looks very worried.
How worried are we talking?
Well, you know, like... when they found Jack Gatling, who was bleeding from his stomach because he had stars taken out of him. Kind of that level.
Painfully aware.
Hmm.
What do you think they found?
I don't know where Ludovic would have looked that we didn't see him.
You don't think he looked in the forecon, do you?
Well, you didn't watch him check every cabin, did you? He was working his way that way and then coming back, starting at Elena...
Definitely got as far as Errol's cabin Errol helped him get in there.
He was working backwards, so he wouldn't have gone to the Forgon with the box of script.
No. So he started at Donny Delgada's, then checked Lord Margrave's Ramahotep. And that's when he was checking Ramahotep. I think that's when he went back into Donny Delgada.
Right.
Or did he...
No, we stayed in Donna's room
to
look at the letters, and when he came back...
We stayed there when he went off to check to go talk to people.
To check the other rooms.
Yeah. And he knocked on each door.
But we listened in to see if we heard him speaking to anyone.
Yeah.
Which he didn't seem to.
Yeah.
And then he came back and said, oh, you shouldn't be in here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then threw us out.
Yeah.
And that's the point where we helped him get into, like, my room.
Right, so...
Yeah, that's the point where we helped him get into my room.
Yeah.
So that was before we came back in here.
Yeah. What you would have noticed is I think he mostly was knocking on doors and talking to people. He wasn't unlocking rooms he didn't get a response from, apart from your room, because he had someone there.
Mm.
With your very good psychology role,
mm-hmm.
you think that he and the chef de garde are concerned and or disquieted by something he has found since he has gone back and done a search of rooms that he didn't get an answer from.
Right.
So at least one of those rooms has had something concerning him.
Which rooms were they?
Well, he didn't get an answer from... Well, obviously Donna Delgada.
But he went into that one.
He didn't. You didn't see him check Danton Zorbix. You were in Donna Delgada with him. He didn't get a response from Margrave. I think he got a response from Ramahotep, didn't he?
No, because he'd gone to the saloon.
Okay, so he didn't get a response there. He didn't get a response from Groening, I don't think. The Count answered the door when he knocked on the Count's door.
Mm-hmm.
He got talked at by Selena.
Yes.
He got you to open Harry Bart.
Yeah.
He did check in on Jack Gatling, but Jack Gatling was still lying in the bed moaning. And was Luigi Martinelli there? I don't think he was. But you had someone from that cabin, so he opened that up.
Yeah.
And then, then that was when you went back, I think. And then, obviously, he seems to have done a further search and has found something concerning.
So are any of those rooms you didn't get an answer from connected to any of our rooms?
Well, you don't have any connections.
No.
I don't think they are. No.
Our rooms are all connected to each other.
Apart from yours, Clarissa, which is on its own but not connected to anyone.
Hmm.
It's all right.
He would have had to have gone elsewhere in the train to find this concerning matter.
Not necessarily. He's gone into one of the rooms where no one answered.
Mm-hmm.
While we were elsewhere.
Yep.
So that's Margaret.
Has Ramahotep come back?
No, he has a tendency to spend most of his day in the saloon reading a book.
So there's no reason why Ludovic couldn't have gone to the saloon to ask Ramahotep to open his room for them.
No, so, there's no reason not to do that.
And there's, you know, every reason to do that.
Mm. And so, Danton Zorbix tends to be in there as well, doesn't he?
So the only person, again, who we haven't... Well, Zorbix was in there at breakfast.
Yeah.
Yep.
We haven't seen Kurt Groening.
No.
Where's Kurt Groening? I don't have your on-the-wall display of where
Kurt Groening is one of the singles, I believe, who is to the... two left of... Clarissa.
Oh, he's next to Selena.
Yeah, he's on the other side of the wall from Selena in a single that's got an adjoined toilet, basically. And he adjoins with Ramahotep.
Okay.
I wonder, given Ludovic's reaction to what the chef de brigade told him, whether it would be just worth asking him if he'd seen Margaret.
Or just whether he's had any luck in his search.
Yeah.
So you head out into the corridor and approach Ludovic. He definitely looks a bit less settled than he did previously.
Okay.
Like he's had a little shock to the system. And remember, he saw Selena being attacked by a flesh thing last night. In fact, about 8 hours ago.
So he's had quite a bad day.
Yep.
Mm.
We've had worse.
Well, yes.
Well, yeah.
But look, that's fine.
You're all sweating heavily to prove it.
Wow.
So anyway, he's just sort of sat on his chair.
So, are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you.
But there's no luck in the search.
I was not able to find Donna Delgado. It seems as if she may have left the train in a hurry, I'm afraid. Mm. You can go ahead and make me a psychology check.
26.
Yeah, he's bothered about something not connected with her.
Okay.
But he's very bothered.
I wondered if you've seen Lord Margrave at all.
Not recently. I saw him at breakfast. He went to the breakfast car, and he certainly went past me earlier this morning.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Yes. There was a brief period of time when I had to go to the Forgone. Huh. I wonder if that was when. Anyway, yes.
Okay. Thank you. She kind of totters off.
Okay.
Sweating heavily on her two bandy legs.
Yeah. generally being unwell. There's definitely something bothering him. It's not directly and obviously connected to Donna Delgado.
But it's something they found.
It's something they found during their search, yes.
Yep. I will sort of pat him on the shoulder and just thank him for everything he's done so far, because quite frankly, he's probably one of the reasons that I'm still alive.
That is not a problem, Mr. Dr. Roberts. Yes, Dr. Roberts. It is my duty, Dr. Roberts. My duty. Yes.
Are you sure you're all right?
Today has been quite tiring. Yes, quite tiring.
All right. Well, you let me know if there's anything I can do to help.
Actually, are you a medical doctor or
philosophical? I'm afraid. But I do know some first aid. It's something that you just need looked at and referring?
Not for myself. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That is fine. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Oh, well, all right. Just let me know. And then I potter off after Clarissa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still recovering blood PhD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Ludovic is definitely not his normal chirpy self. Definitely not.
He has a concern which, yeah, not for himself, but he would like a medical doctor available to check something.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, an instant requirement, because otherwise he would have been a lot more urgent about it.
Yeah. It's almost so
it
as
sounds
if he,
like
yeah.
found a dead body.
That, so he's been to the Forgone.
He didn't mention that.
To have gone to the Forgone and searched the Forgone and then come back in the time you've been talking and have just randomly found what you found earlier.
And to have not instantly arrested me.
Incredibly quick and very lucky.
Okay.
It seems much more likely it is something that he has found during his search of this carriage that has so disconcerted him.
Yeah. He said, when I went to the Forgone, on those in the Forgone, that's maybe when, but didn't extrapolate beyond that.
So, an occurrence has occurred. That was a terrible sentence formation, but never mind. That he thinks has occurred in a period when he went to the Forgone. So he would not have noticed the comings and goings that caused it.
Everybody make me a listen check.
Oh, listen.
Chester does not pass. Dr. Roberts can pass if he spends 7 luck.
Which I will.
Clarissa passes.
Okay.
So, put me on 41.
Mm-hmm. So both of you hear the sounds of... Well, you know that sort of sound that... Not stiletto high heels, but high heels make as they're walking along. They're sort of clack, 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 clack. You hear the sound of clack, 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 going down the corridor past your room. It stops just beyond your room. And there's a knock on one of the doors just beyond your room. And then you hear the clomp, clomp, clomp of Ludovic coming up. And him talking quietly to somebody. You really can't hear over the sound of the train. And then you hear a woman gasp and then start crying.
Is this, if we work it out, is that Donna's room?
No. It's the other direction.
If we can hear this, can we just sort of peek back around the corner and see?
Yeah. You look out of the window and you can see Countess de Brucy standing outside Kurt Groening's room, and she is crying, and Ludovic is trying to console her in some fashion and leading her in the direction of the saloon car.
Okay.
Okay. Can I go out and just sort of test that door?
Okay, as Ludovic leaves, yeah, you can walk out and you go up and you test the door handle. It is locked.
Okay.
Is there a keyhole?
There is a keyhole.
Can we try and look through it?
Yes, make me a spot hidden check make me a hard spot hidden check. Rather than making you have disadvantage, I'll just make you do a hard one.
What level's hard?
Half.
Half, okay. No, I see nothing.
You look through, but you can't really see much.
Is the coast still clear?
Technically speaking, yes.
Should we not be following them surreptitiously to wherever they're going?
We should certainly be making a move so that we're not in a suspicious location.
Good point. Okay, well, let's head towards the saloon then.
Okay, so you're all going to the saloon, or is somebody staying behind to have a look at this room?
We could try half going, half staying.
Yep, that sounds like a plan.
Okay, so who's going to the saloon and who's staying on the potentially breaking and entering side of things?
Well, I'm going to the saloon because I need a drink.
Ah, yes, because Chester Philman, currently being propped up by Laudanum and Whiskey since 1923.
Fuck yes.
Which, incidentally, is the same year the campaign started. Although we are now in March. Actually, that's wrong. It should be the 7th now, I believe.
Yes. So, Dr. Roberts, do you want to go with him?
If you have a better skill at spot hidden, then yeah, I shall. Somebody has a phone call.
Yeah. I don't know whether any of us have any skill in breaking and entering, but no.
No, Tony.
I can't please you. Anyway, let's continue.
Yells out the window. Join the Navy.
What the heck? Anyway, let's get on with this shit. So, you two are heading to the bar. You two are staying by Groening's door. What are you doing? I'm going to deal with the people at Groening's door first.
Can I try looking through the keyhole?
Make me a hard spot hidden.
That's a no.
No, you can't. You look through the keyhole. Can't see anything.
Can I double check Ramahotep's door? Because that's the one next to it, isn't it?
Yes, it is locked.
It is also locked. Okay.
Ludovic was very careful about that.
Okay.
There might be one way. Actually, make me intelligence checks. Remember, if you're tired, you do these at disadvantage.
Yeah. I pass it.
I did not.
Okay, so you've watched a lot of films, Errol.
Oh, no.
You've gone to Sunday matinees and Saturday matinees and, well, Friday matinees. And basically, you've been to the cinema quite a bit, although you've always gone on your own.
Not with my mum.
Or with your Amazonian scale mother.
Yeah, because I was the best seats. No one would argue.
Yeah, but nobody behind her could see.
Yeah.
If you were to go into Selena's room,
yeah,
and lean out of the window,
yeah,
you could look in the window of Kurt Groening's room.
Yeah.
The only thing that might put a dampener on your style is if you enter a tunnel, such as the Simplon Tunnel, which is somewhere ahead, or, and this is the important bit, if you go past a really big tree.
Yeah.
But you could lean out and have a look through the window.
Well, I guess we'll ask Selena nicely.
Selena's fast asleep when you go in there.
Okay.
Elena Constanza is in there.
Oh.
Ah, hello.
Good morning.
Yes. I was thinking I might just go to the bathroom. They've got lovely lavender soap in there.
I'm not sure Clarissa is feeling particularly intelligent. Okay, that's nice.
I see. She gets up and leaves.
I can't remember whether or not he told us.
Yes,
no, he did tell you.
Did he?
Yeah.
I think he even told you the password, and you all went, what?
Yeah, something
because it's
random.
A non sequitur. Lid.
I'm pretty
lid.
Sure it's lid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she gets up and leaves and starts heading down train.
That's fine. She's not here anymore.
Yeah, Selena is...
We don't have to worry about her judging us for climbing out windows.
Okay. Right then, so are you doing that thing?
Yeah.
How are you doing this? Because this is important because it's going to determine what I make you roll.
Okay. How fast is the train going?
The train proceeds at probably about 40 miles an hour on the flat, which is pretty damn fast.
Yeah.
But going up hills, it usually slows to like 10 or 15 maybe.
Are we on the flat now?
No. You've just gone through Trieste, so you're winding your way through the mountains of Italy. So average speed maybe 15, 20 miles an hour.
Okay, that's not so bad. Can I see...
Just high probability of rock to the face.
Yeah, I'm going to start by sort of looking out and seeing what I can see coming.
Right. Maybe a luck check.
A luck check?
Yes. Why?
I fail it.
Okay. About half a mile away, then, you do see an edge of the mountain with a tunnel in it. So you've got a fair amount of time.
Okay.
Because it's going to take you like 2 minutes, 3 minutes to get there, but it will put an absolute limit on how much you can do.
Okay. So how far away are the windows from each other? Like,
not very far, maybe about 2 foot from the edge of one window to the other, but of course you're going to have to get across enough to be able to see in.
Oh my gosh.
So you're basically going to end up with probably your hip on your windowsill or leaning right out and around.
Does Selena have... like a mirror or something? Is there something?
Yes, she almost certainly has a mirror.
Are the windows wide enough that Clarissa can stick her head out too and shout a warning?
Yes. They're pretty big.
Can she do that, please?
I mean, I've got an umbrella to hold you with.
Well, I mean, look what's coming.
What? To, like...
To tell me when there's a tunnel.
Yeah, to poke you. I mean, that might not go well. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, okay.
So what are you doing? Are you just going to lean out another lump?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want to try anything too risky.
Do you have a climbing skill?
Only at base.
What is base for climb?
20.
Okay.
Hence, I don't really want to leave the window more than I have to.
So you can either do me, currently, with your current plan, you can either do me a climbing roll or a hard dexterity check.
Okay. I would be going with a hard dexterity.
Yeah, because I assume that's higher.
Yes.
Okay, so off you go then. Please note, you may want to spend luck if you fail this or push it.
Yeah, okay. Fucking hell. Okay. I rolled a 4.
Okay, that's fine then. So what you actually do is you hook your right foot under the handle of Selena's suitcase and actually lock it under the window by dragging it across and locking it up, and then just lean out and round. And you get a full view of Kurt Groening dead on his bed. He's lying on his back. He's obviously still dressed in his bedclothes. He has... Well, you're fairly certain it's Kurt Groening because he has a pillow over his face and there's a hole in the pillow, very red around the hole, and there's blood running down his arm. Make me a spot hit.
Nope.
Okay, you don't notice anything else. By the way, there's a tunnel coming.
You're going to get back in the train now.
Okay, you can do that perfectly with that hooking dexterity roll.
Clearly,
you're absolutely fine.
I've had too much experience peeking in windows. I'm not going to think what that says about Errol.
Errol's just a dirty perv, isn't he?
He's a 19-year-old boy.
He's a dirty perv.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so it looks like Kurt Groening has had a pillow put over his face and either something shoved through it or something shot through it.
Oh, he's dead.
How much of a thing of silence is in this type?
Well, the most common way of doing that is to put a pillow. I don't think there's any such thing as a suppressor in the 20s. I'm welcome to be corrected by our listeners, but I'm going to go with there isn't such a thing. So, yeah, really, pillow so over face is...
just
yeah.
Pillow in the face, wrap pillow around gun, fire.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I also seem to remember that they tend to just go for higher calibers and bigger cartridges at this time because they haven't mastered finesse yet.
Yep.
So there's a certain amount of, if you fire anything, it will be heard.
The first commercially successful silencer was being sold in 1902.
Wow. Okay.
By the AARL.
Okay.
By Hiram Maxim.
Okay. So it's possible that there were a silencer was used, but then again, also adding a pillow would make it even quieter.
Hmm.
Right.
But yeah, Groening's dead. Over to the people in the saloon. You go to the saloon and you can see Ludovic has taken Countess de Brucy over to the bar. And he's in the process of getting her a drink. She's still crying a lot. And he's trying to calm her down. Ramahotep is in one corner reading his book, as he has his wont to do. Danton Zorbik is in another corner nursing a beer. And Lord Margrave is sort of, you see where the bar is? He's sitting directly opposite the bar, sort of looking around, looking out the window. Who else is in there? Oh, actually, as you come in from the up train end, Martinelli comes in from the down train end and starts lumbering along as if to go to his cabin. So what are you all doing?
I'm watching the reactions of the other people in the saloon.
Okay. Ramahotep has... Well, actually, make me a psychology check.
Fuck no.
Okay. Well, Ramahotep sort of looks up as he sees the lady come in, the crying lady come in. He looks vaguely confused. Watches her go over to the bar, watches Ludovic dealing with her, and just sort of shakes his head and goes back to his book. Danton Zorbik sort of looks up entirely dispassionately and just goes, then goes straight back to his beer. Lord Margrave, on the other hand, sort of looks confused as she comes in. And then when they go over to the bar, he sort of leans as if he wants to be able to hear what's going on.
Mm.
And then he obviously hears something. And he goes, he sort of sits back and looks very confused. Like, what?
As if something wasn't supposed to have happened.
And then you two come in, and he's like, he looks at you two and looks at the woman and sort of does a shrug, like, what's going on?
And he just sort of shrug back.
He nods and goes back to his newspaper.
Mm.
So then, what are you all doing?
I'm just trying to observe surreptitiously.
Okay. So, Ludovic and Countess de Brucy are having a very quiet conversation. About 20 seconds after you get there, though, Elena Constanza comes into the saloon behind you, and she comes straight up to you and Dr. Roberts, and she sort of walks up to you and sort of tugs on your shirt.
Mm. I look at her.
And she waves you over into the corner, and she goes, "Lavender, so neat. Your friends might have been taken over."
I don't think so. I think it's possible they just forgot. I did tell them the countersign, but they might have forgotten.
Ah, okay.
I'm
well,
very bright. I will remind them.
Yeah, because I give them the word, and they didn't respond. But they're in my room at the moment.
There we go. Can I just make an intelligence check to try and figure out what they're doing?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Did we smoke a leaf?
Yes, I did pass that.
Okay, bear with me a second. I've just got to check something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we actually did whispering.
Yep. So you passed it?
Yes, I passed it.
Yeah, you think they're probably trying to look in through the window at Kurt Groening's room.
Ah, yes. I think I know what they're up to.
Okay, good. But yeah, remind them.
Yes.
Because we're risking quite a lot here.
Mm.
I think I've got a lead on someone. She points down train who might be involved and gives you a knowing look.
Mm.
And she starts heading off.
I follow.
Okay. You take a couple of steps after her and she stops and looks at you like, no. You do your thing, I'll do my thing.
I go back and join Dr. Roberts. I'm not very good at this.
She's sort of very confused and then heads off.
I'm going to have gotten a drink to establish cover by this point.
Okay, yeah.
And just so when he comes over and looks sort of, I presume, sheepish, it's like, what was all that about?
And I just want to look to see if anyone's paying attention to us.
Right. Countess de Brucey, no. Ludovic has noticed you're there, but he's not, like, glaring at you or anything. Lord Margrave is reading his paper. The bar staff are sort of paying attention to Dr. Roberts, but not much. Ramahotep's reading his book. Danton Zorvik doesn't seem to give a shit.
Mm.
And by this point, Martinelli has left and is in the sleeper car.
I think you mean the sleeper car.
Sorry?
You said Martinelli was in the saloon car? That's
sleeping car.
Sleeping car. Yeah, sorry. Okay, just deception. Okay, she might have a lead.
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
Mm.
Well, I mean, we had better, you know, grab a table.
Yes, well, we are at a table. Aren't we?
Well, no, you're at the bar, at the moment.
Oh, right, okay. So I thought we were at a table.
Well, I've just finished ordering a drink.
Okay, I will get a drink and
had a chat good. With random woman number one, as far as everyone else is concerned.
Mm.
And it's like, shall we get, you know, not just stay at the bar?
Okay. Yeah, sorry. I thought we would go on to a table. No, I'll get a drink and then we'll go to a table.
Okay. So you can actually take... You see the table where Lord Margrave is?
Yeah.
You could take the next one along if you wanted, or go further down into the big settles. Sort of.
A little further down. Nobody were right next to anyone.
Okay. So you go into one of those big settles. So you can still see the bar.
Yeah.
Every time the phone comes on, you can hear it. But anyway. So, yeah, you sit down and watch for a little bit. Basically, Countess de Brucey seems really upset, and Ludovic does the best he can to sort of calm her down. After a while, she does sort of calm down a bit, and then she sort of dries her eyes and heads towards the toilet at the end there. And Ludovic gets up and heads back to the sleeping car. By this point, you guys have finished looking in through the window. By quite some time. You do also go through a tunnel at some point.
Mm.
But for the most part, I've not been telling you about the tunnels because there's a lot of them on this stretch.
Mm.
There is a big one coming up, though. The Simplon Tunnel is 20 miles long.
Whoa!
It's the biggest tunnel in the world.
If we're only going 15 miles an hour, that'll take us over an hour to go through the tunnel.
It's mostly on the flat.
Oh, okay.
So it'll probably take about half an hour.
Okay.
Still, yeah, it's cool. It's pretty fucking big.
Yeah.
So then, what are you all doing?
Well, I think once we finish this drink, we should probably head back.
Mm-hmm.
And just team up again.
Okay. It's sort of like lunchtime-ish now.
Mm.
So, you see Ramahotep and Lord Margrave get up and head towards the dining car. You know that they tend to have the same table, although Lord Margrave has been coming over and eating with you guys quite a lot.
Mm.
But yeah, so what are you doing? Anything? You come back to the table. You come back to the cabin.
Mm.
Clarissa, they come back to your cabin. I assume you go back to your cabin as well.
Mm.
Good. Excellent.
I did give you the countersign.
Please use
it, because otherwise she thinks you've been taken over.
But we needed her to leave.
Yes, but you could have just asked her to do that. Now she thinks you might be taken over. Yeah.
Well, okay, so
well,
just,
you know,
just so as we're sure, she says lavender so.
You say...
Good.
There we go.
Please do that in future. So you looked through the window, I'm guessing.
Well, Errol did, yeah.
And...
He's deaf. definitely dead.
Right. How?
Well, he's got a pillow for his face and some blood.
So, yeah, Kurt Grenning is dead in his cabin.
Right, that makes sense. Right. Well, judging by the reactions in the saloon car, could be Zorbik. Didn't seem... Pretty sure it's not my grave.
Really?
Around the hotel. Their reactions were too...
You mean who killed?
Well, someone killed him, obviously. The question is whether or not it was...
the Count?
I suppose. Jealous husband. It might even be entirely unrelated to everything with the cult. I mean, it could just have been the Count getting revenge for the fact that Journey was sleeping with his wife. Oh, he was an arms dealer, so there's obviously people he's also upset, so... He was an arms dealer, right? Was it?
Grenning is, yeah.
Grenning, yeah.
Was, sorry.
Was, yeah.
Well, is anyone.
Yeah. So, could be any number of people out for revenge.
I mean, really, this isn't our primary concern.
No, but it's just whether or not it ties in.
I mean, he was wearing his skin, so...
Kurt Grenning is still entirely covered in his own skin.
Just as a new hole.
That's reassuring, at least.
Well, no, let me rephrase that. The parts of him you could see were still skin. You can't tell if his face has been removed.
How much blood was there?
A fairly large amount, but then head wounds bleed a lot.
Yeah, true.
They have lapsed into silence as they think.
But now we know he's dead. If we saw his face on someone else, we'd know that was a problem anyway.
Yes, plus Ludovic knows he's dead, which means the staff know he's dead, which means whoever's wearing the face could... If someone was wearing the face, they couldn't walk around using it.
Or it might just be that he's dead.
Or it might just be that he's dead, yes. That seems more likely, but...
Did you see Margaret?
Yes, Margaret was in the saloon car.
How did he seem?
Confused.
Because someone's killed someone who's not him.
Well,
Don't forget, he's one of the possibles.
True.
At the present time, assuming nothing else is...
True, actually, yes, that might... Yeah, no, I suppose it doesn't rule him out.
I mean, the other possible is, well...
Ramahotep, who was also...
Harrod Bart.
Oh, well, he wasn't there.
We no, he's passed out.
He's still unconscious in your room.
Okay. Well, our associate thinks she might have found a lead down train. She's looking into it.
Did you check her for scars?
No.
But she's been consistent. So, if he has replaced her, he's done a very good job of knowing what she knows already.
Did you have the conversation before or after Donald Delbard went
missing? Oh, before. Well, this conversation we had just now, but the first conversation was before.
Yeah.
So...
We shouldn't... I don't think we should really leave... either of them unwatched, if we can help it. If he changes again, people.
There's only a finite number of people on this train.
Please note, what he means is there's only a finite number of people in the carriage that's going all the way to Calais.
Yeah.
Because if I have to start dealing with the rest of the train, my brain will literally... It'll be like playing Stellaris when you've got thousands of ships. It'll just grind to a halt.
I mean, yeah, if I was him, I'd have switched to, like, one of the people in the many, many other carriages and switched to one of these guys right at the very end.
Yeah, no, obviously, but this is a game.
But he seems to prefer the fancy carriage, obviously.
Because he's a
There's two fancy carriages. He could just go through that thing, take over anybody in there, and you'd be none the wiser.
Yeah.
However, for the story's sake, and for the sake of your poor GM, no, he did not do that thing that is vaguely obvious.
Okay.
It will always be somebody who is in this carriage.
I mean, if you want to be really subtle, he'd have just picked one person before he really met them and then just stuck with the same personality all the way through.
To be perfectly honest, what he would have done is taken over Selena by now.
Yeah, fair. She is very asleep most of the time.
Yep.
Yeah, but he was like, no, I don't want to be this ugly woman.
She's very ugly.
Well, that's his fault as well.
Yeah.
Well,
so anyway.
But so, Margrave shares the same lunch slot as us.
Yeah.
Yes, but they've just gone for lunch now.
Well, at the beginning of this, when you lot headed just after, just before you lot heading back.
Should we go in pairs to lunch? Perhaps if they've gone to lunch, then some people could go to lunch, but we could also keep an eye on Harrow Bar and make sure he doesn't leave the room.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Okay. So who's going to lunch?
Who's hungriest?
Dr. Wade Roberts. He's missing quite a lot of blood.
Okay, I'll be with Dr. Roberts.
Injury repair is kind of nutrition intensive.
Good.
What can I say?
Okay, well, if you want to go off to the dining car.
Okay. You head to the dining car. Now, yours is the first set of tables in the dining car. Are you actually going to go in, take a good look around?
No, I mean, we'll sort of look as we're sitting.
Okay, so first thing you notice, Ramahotep is eating alone.
Okay, so that means Margrave isn't at his table.
Yep.
Okay, is Margrave there at all?
Make a spot hidden.
I don't make that. Dr. Roberts. Dr. Roberts halves that.
Lord Margrave is not in the dining car.
Ooh.
And the historic...
Say again?
Punctual about this? Historically, he's been very reliable in his lunch habits.
Well, you saw both him and Ramahotep head in this direction not 10, 15 minutes ago.
What else is in this direction?
The four gods and the engine.
Ooh.
But remember, you're not actually allowed in the four gods.
Hmm. But we talked our way in.
True.
How many carriages are between this and the fourgon?
It's the next carriage.
It's
the
okay.
Literally, you go to the end of the kitchen, go past the kitchen, you're in the fourgon. The first fourgon. Then there's another fourgon, and then there's the train.
Okay, well, we can sit down and we'll watch that door.
Okay.
Well, cool. I will, certainly.
I assume you also eat lunch.
Yes, and also eat lunch at the same time, but also watch that door.
Clarissa and Errol.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
We are listening out for people going past to identify who they are. Slash waiting for when it's our time to go for lunch. Yes.
Okay. Make me a listen check.
A pass.
Which room are you in, by the way? Because that will determine...
We went back to Clarissa's room.
Yeah. Okay. Hanging out in Errol's room with Harry Bart would be weird.
You pass.
Okay, I don't.
Okay. So, Errol. Harry Bart continues snoring. You can hear that even from here. You also hear the Countess de Brucey go into her room and the Count talks to her for a moment and the Countess talks to him and then the Countess starts crying and the Count sort of starts to try and console her and then the Countess says something and then they start a raging argument which ends with somebody stomping on. And you think it's probably a man.
Can I sort of open the door a crack after they stop?
The Count de Brucey is heading towards the saloon.
Okay.
The back of his neck is very red, as if he's quite cross.
Oh, I see. Okay.
As if his whole face is very red, but you can only see the back of his neck because he's stomping away.
Okay.
You do see Elena Constanza come back and she spots you looking. And she's like, she stops and just turns around and walks off.
Close the door.
Fair enough. Cool.
Well, I don't really know how else to react to that.
No. Okay. So, we are heading through Italy. You stay... How long are you going to stay there for lunch?
Well, enough time to eat lunch.
Okay, you eat your entire lunch, nobody comes back out of the pool room.
Okay, we will head back to do swapsies.
Okay, you do swapsies, you guys head to dinner.
I will brief them, just to clear that Margrave wasn't in there, and in that direction we think he might have headed towards the foregone, but no one came back from the foregone.
Mm. Oh, you do see Ramahotep eats his dinner and gets up and comes back. And you guys would have heard somebody come along the corridor and go into Ramahotep's room. So, you two go to dinner.
Lunch.
Lunch, yes. You eat lunch, you watch the foregone door. You finish your lunch, nobody comes through the foregone door.
Does anyone else come in to lunch?
Martinelli does.
Okay.
and eats prodigiously.
No.
Can I even see, like, his neck properly?
Let's put it this way. It would be very easy to hide a scar in those folds.
Yes, I thought that might be the case.
Somebody comes in and takes two different trays of food back into your carriage. One that's got, like, soup on it, bread, and another that's, like, a salad. The Count comes in, like, quite late on in his slot. And he comes in, and he sits down, and the waitstaff come over and ask him what he'd like, and he sort of responds to him, just anything, just bring me anything. And angrily eats his way through a chicken.
Angry like, chicken.
Really angrily eats a chicken. Complains about the cook. Complains about the food. Orders a dessert. Doesn't touch the dessert. Orders about four brandies. Drinks the brandies. Gets up as if to head back to his room, then stops himself and sits back down, eats a bit more, then gets up and stomps out. By that point, you're at the end of your slot. Nobody's come out before gone.
Right. Is our table at...
Your table is the first one down train on the bottom, as you look at that map.
Okay.
So as you're walking up train, it is the first on the right. The Count's table is... second on the left. Ramahotep and Lord Margrave's is second on the right. As you know, because Lord Margrave sort of leant over the top on a previous meal.
Okay. So people saw that he went this way from the saloon.
He left the saloon and headed in this direction.
But no one actually saw he definitely came to the dining hall.
Well, they then came to talk to you lot.
Yeah. But actually, that's the same direction, isn't it? So they've seen that he carried on walking.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. In my head, I keep thinking the saloon's next to the dining car, which obviously is not. No,
it's the other end. So basically, you've got the dining car on the up end, on the up train end, and the saloon car on the down train end of your sleeping car.
Yeah.
Except, of course, there's another sleeping car between you and the dining car.
Yes, but basically they saw people heading through our carriage to go for lunch, and they came and sort of stopped in our carriage and then carried on. So, okay, so had we in the next carriage, or the dining car, or the foregone, or he's stuck in a toilet.
Make me an intelligence check.
Harvick.
Or he waited until you were all in your cabin and went the other way. So he walked past your cabin and then turned back.
Yeah, that's also.
But why would he do that unless he was intentionally trying to fool us?
I think it's time to. I think it's time to go back to the saloon to look.
Okay.
That way.
You are heading to the saloon. Is anybody else going to the saloon?
Do we hear them coming past?
You are coming back towards, because you two are in Clarissa's room.
Yeah.
Oh, can you make me a listen check?
Nope, for Chester. And yes, for Dr. Roberts.
Remember to check it if it's not checked. So, Dr. Roberts, you hear Harrow Bart wake up and throw up noisily into the toilet.
This is why I think it's
wrong. And then sort of stomp about a bit. You hear him say, "Where's my fucking tie? Bitch has got my tie! Damn it!" And then you hear him fumbling with the door. And then you hear him leave his cabin. Now, at this point, you two are heading down the corridor towards your room, and you see Harry Bart come sideways out of his door. He has changed his clothes. He's obviously not put them on very well. He's missed a couple of buttons on his shirt. And he sort of staggers along, and he sees you coming and goes, "Ah, Miss Click, a pleasure to see you there." He's obviously still a bit drunk. And he stinks of booze and chalk, basically. "Do please let me know if you'd like to have dinner later."
Speaking of which, I must go and have something to eat. I feel a little weakened. And he heads past you towards the dining car.
I kind of sidle past and go, yeah, I'm not even feeling too good myself now.
Well, you are sweating heavily.
I'm sweating heavily. I've got the smell of whatever he's been doing. And it's just like... Mm.
Yeah, no, he heads off towards the dining car.
Part of me that really hopes that's Matt Creer.
Just so you can get to shoot him, right?
No, just so it's sort of like your
commitment to the role.
Yeah, commitment to the role. And also, that's our enemy. Amazing.
Okay. So, you head back into Clarissa's room, I assume, or are you just going straight past the saloon?
I'm going to make sure someone comes with me, because you don't go anywhere alone, it's dangerous.
Okay, so...
I think I'll suggest that we all head off to the saloon.
Okay,
you all head to the saloon.
Or is there any point in staying here? We're not exactly...
Harry Bart's just gone to dinner. Well, lunch.
We're not exactly stealthy in, you know, looking at...
Yeah.
Stuff, so.
And we've already all been to lunch, so we can't really follow Harry Bart's keep an eye on lunch.
Just, are you explaining your Margrave theory to us?
Yes.
Okay.
You head into the saloon car. In the saloon car, you see Danton Zovic drinking a beer.
Is it the same beer he had this morning?
It might be. It's fairly low. Probably don't see anybody else, actually.
Can I look in case someone's hiding, as it were?
There's nobody hiding in here.
Okay.
Margrave isn't there. Martinelli, you will know when you go past your cabin. Jesus. Martinelli is having his post-lunch sleep. Because you can hear his... Jack Gatling hasn't left. He's still in his cabin. Selena is in her cabin. No sign of Margrave, not in there.
Damn it.
And Ramahotep is in his room.
Where's he gone?
Further down train.
We can't go down there.
No, but no, we have to.
No, we can't. They'll kill us.
No, we have to. She's gone down there, which means he's probably going after her. I'm not saying that loudly, but...
Okay. Which is the point at which you start heading towards Milan? The train comes through the mountains, and you pull into Milan, and the train becomes uproar as people start getting on and getting off. That is where we're going to finish for the evening. This might have been a little bit of a short session after we've dealt with all of the sound issues and taking out the silence. We hope you've enjoyed it, no matter how long it's ended up being. If you have enjoyed it, please do feel free to leave us iTunes or Podchaser reviews. You can talk to us at thecultofteendice.net. You can talk to us at thecultofteendice@gmail.com. You can also talk to us at cultofteendice on the Twitters, or go to Facebook, The Cult of Tea and Dice, and talk to us at there. You can talk to me on Twitter at Mordrigan, talk to her at TGremlin, talk to him at Blooded Fox. There's no Weird Dog Allegory, and he wouldn't have an underscore even if there was.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening. And remember, if you're stuck on a fucking train with a face-changing maniac, try and keep track of absolutely everyone. Goodbye!
Bye. Bye. Bye.